You're listening to SBS News.
Fatima Payman broke ground when entering Parliament for the first time as a senator for WA this year. She arrived in Perth as an 8-year-old refugee from Afghanistan and is now one of the youngest parliamentarians on Capitol Hill and the first to wear a hijab. This podcast celebrates the most diverse parliament Australia has seen and explores the long and tough path it's taken for many to change the tide. I'm political reporter Krishani Danji, and on this episode of Our House, Fatima Payman tells us about how she wants to normalise diversity in parliament, how her family's struggle shaped her, and why she felt it was right to give up her Afghan citizenship to stand for the Senate. Senator, thank you so much for joining me. First of all, how lovely is it that us two young women are sitting in the same room in Parliament together chatting?
Oh man, it's so fantastic to see the diversity in the current Parliament that we see around. Heaps more work to be done, but nevertheless, it's a good start.
Now, you're part of the most diverse parliament ever. You're the first woman to wear a hijab in the chamber. What does that mean to you? What's the significance of that in a place like this?
Well, it's firstly trying to normalise the hijab so that people don't, you know, look twice and be like, oh, so you're a senator, like walking down the halls and security sort of looks at you and they're like, oh, you've got the badge on, so, you know, the little pin, so you must be a senator or, you know, someone new to the place. But it also means it just shows how far Australia has come in terms of the diversity, but also having that appetite for representation and having a parliament that actually reflects society. It's just that beautiful sort of idea of inclusivity, diversity, and the multiculturalism that we take pride in is actually manifesting into the very place that we make legislation that will impact the lives of so many people out there.
Your father arrived by boat from Afghanistan, worked 3 to 4 jobs. Your mum set up business, her own driving school here. How's that shaped you?
It's definitely taught me resilience and perseverance and their life values of just, you know, doing the hard yards, trying to make ends meet and being productive citizens to this nation. They've always just been idols for me of what it means to be a true Australian. You don't have to have English as your first language to be a good Australian. Definitely look up to them.
You had to go through the process of renouncing your citizenship to become a senator and stand for parliament. When I spoke to Maureen Faruqi about this, she said it was pretty devastating. How is it for you?
It was devastating. I mean, even though I arrived in Australia as an 8-year-old and, you know, literally grew up in this environment and this is home, it was that sort of part of my identity that I was like, you know, I got to let go of this cultural aspect of, you know, what I identify as. And I mean, I'm going to hold my Afghan culture dear and close to my heart, but sort of renouncing was quite an ordeal. As we know, the Taliban took over Afghanistan in August and August last year. And when I was trying to renounce, it was quite a tedious process in terms of there weren't any official bodies in Afghanistan who would actually process the application. So the embassy in Canberra, the Afghan embassy, actually just, you know, did notice that I've exhausted all options to renouncing and there is no other way going about, you know, going to Afghanistan and finalising this because there's no way I'm coming back if I do that. And what was sort of law pre-Taliban regime and what was after was just in disarray. So it was a tough, challenging few months, you know, until I finalised the renunciation.
Did it make you think twice about running?
No, not at all. Because I call Australia home and there's no ways I would ever go back. But it's also, you know, it's just part of protocol and I respect that.
Are we at a point, though, that it's outdated,
No, I feel like it's really important to show your allegiance to the nation that you're representing, and representing all Western Australians is something I stood for. And if that meant I needed to ensure that, you know, I had to be the citizen of just the nation I was representing, then that's what I went with.
In 2017, Pauline Hanson walked into the Senate chamber. You know where I'm going.
I've been asked this so many times. It's
and
insane.
Called for it to be banned in Australia. Yeah. How does something like that make you feel? And do you think that 4 years on, society and Parliament have changed?
It's definitely in the right direction. Society is definitely moving in the right direction of progressing and being more inclusive in accepting Australians for who they are. Like, I wouldn't judge a person across the road wearing boardies and shorts, boardies and flip-flops. And I don't expect people to judge me for wearing a scarf without sort of getting to know me. So with Senator Hanson's stunt, it really did shake Australia. And I guess the Christchurch shooting sort of alluded to the anti-Islamic sentiment that was rife in the community, and something that we need to work towards, you know, ensuring that it never happens again to any community, because no one should ever feel threatened to go into a place of worship and worry about their safety. But with Senator Hanson's stunt, I think I really want to get to know her story. And I think it would be very vital for this narrative to, you know, she probably has a reason for why she did that. And I'm going in with an open mind and trying to figure out, you know, the whole dynamic of the Senate.
And so what are the main issues for you this term, and how much influence do you think that you can have within the party?
So there's just so much for me to learn, right? As a first-time senator, but also as a 27-year-old who's got union experience and organising experience. So I'm really passionate about workers' rights. I am really passionate about seeing a federal ICAC be established, because returning integrity back into the political space is very important to me.
And you've said before that the general public perceive politicians as untrustworthy and unreachable. How do you think that you can stop that from happening or change that sort of image?
I think it's about being present and listening to your constituents, right? And I think through campaigning, I've definitely realised the importance of people just wanting to be heard and sharing their stories, and that's so important to me. Being approachable is just a characteristic that I think all politicians should possess, because at the end of the day, we are the voice of Australians that we represent, and, you know, we need to be able to not only relate to them, but for them to see themselves reflected in us. And so I've taken that social media space to show them that, you know, we're not some high mighty individuals, you know, on TV all the time. Like, I'm just a regular 27-year-old who likes similar things that you do. And just because you're a politician doesn't mean you're someone that's, you're an alien or something. So
why do you think that there's been this image of them being untrustworthy in the past?
I think the scandals that have come through and we've seen in the previous government has really made people lose trust in politicians, because it takes quite a lot to put the decision-making process in someone's hand that, you know, you cannot relate to, or they don't represent your values. So I think the environment just really needs to change in terms of being inclusive, being respectful, having that, you know, respecting the Jenkins review that came out and ensuring that those recommendations are implemented.
Labor has kept the coalition's boat turn back policy. Is that something that you would personally support, given your own family history?
So I definitely empathise with people who are seeking asylum and they're escaping from war-torn countries. Like I alluded earlier, there's just so much for me to learn and really get my head wrapped around. This is definitely one of the areas that I would like to investigate and learn more about before I can formulate my position. But I have complete trust in the Prime Minister and the Labor government to do what's best for Australians.
And there are more than 150,000 applications from Afghan nationals to come to Australia following the fall of Kabul to the Taliban. What needs to be done to speed up that process? And considering there are so few spots that are actually available, it means that parents, children, grandparents are going to be left behind. What do we do about that?
So there has been a massive backlog, you know. Our Home Affairs Minister, Claire O'Neill, has definitely, she's got so much on her plate right now. But the backlog from previous government just means the processing times are just, you know, that extra bit longer. Like I said, just so much for me to learn about. I really need to look into this. But yeah, it's just going to be work in progress. Like, you know, we've only been elected in government like 6 or 7 weeks ago. So undoing the damage of like, what, 9 years of a Liberal Nationals coalition government to where we are now, like it's a lot of work to be done.
Following on from that, the government's committed to increase the refugee intake to around 27,000 places a year. But, you know, considering how hard your parents, your family, you yourself have contributed to Australia and to society, do you think that that cap should be even higher, especially now as we face worker shortages?
The government will definitely be doing something about the worker shortages and skill shortages. Obviously, our September Jobs Skill Summit is something that we're going to be finding out ways and avenues of ensuring that, you know, Australians aren't left behind or they're not deprived of any opportunities. It is just going to be an ongoing conversation and a space for everyone to watch for and follow closely to see what our government is going to put forward.
And you've talked about the importance of migrant workers knowing their rights. It's something that you've worked really hard towards, particularly working in the union. Is that something that you're going to be championing here? And where do you think the failings are?
So in terms of just the like workers not knowing their rights, it's more so in terms of their EBA agreements, ensuring that they're across it all. But with migrant workers, especially in places like laundries and industries of like, you know, chicken factories and stuff, a lot of these migrants, they're just trying to make ends meet and putting food on the table. And so I think it's about educating them. It's about ensuring that you know, there are representatives within the union movement who reflect those workers and are able to remove that language barrier out of the question and actually be able to convey what is required for them to know in terms of their rights. But also it's just progressing that movement to ensure that it's an inclusive environment of all workers being considered, regardless of your background.
Is that something that you could do from Parliament?
That's definitely something I'll look into. There's so much for me to learn and so much for me to ask about, because I really do want to be able to do a great job in being a representative for WA, but also an advocate for workers and being their voice. So, you know, I've got 6 years and I'm definitely want to do justice to the role and serve WA as best as I can as a senator.
Now, you're gaining a lot of traction on social media. What sort of response have you been having?
I've received an overwhelming large number of support, and people have just been, like, the sentiment has been so much more positive than negative that it actually hasn't put me off. But also a tip for all the MPs and senators out there, do not read your comments, because you're going to have some, you know, person who's had a tough day and they just want to lash out and use an avenue, and social media just seems to be a safe space for keyboard warriors. But look, I really do appreciate, you know, the support that I've received online. And when I say that there's been a massive appetite of the Australian community for change and to see a young person in a role as senator rather than, you know, people sort of going in during their retirement age, it's definitely been a good change, and I really want to use this space to educate people that, you know, if I could do it, so can you.
Who do you hope to inspire, and have you had people that come up to you and talk to you?
Young people in particular are young people of culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds. Women in particular are the three sort of target groups that I really hope to inspire to not only get active in the political space, but actually have faith in being who they are and embracing themselves, because I know it can be quite tough, not only with social media, you know, being on the rise and the impacts and influence that it's had on the younger generation, but just the pressures of trying to fit in rather than actually embracing who you really are and staying true to that. So it's yeah, like I really didn't expect to come, you know, this far, but I really did work hard and ensured that I did what was best to get an Albanese Labor government elected.
Well, congratulations for that. And thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Krishani.
Our House is a podcast series for SBS News and interviews politicians from multicultural backgrounds who are changing the face and culture of Parliament. Join me, Krishani Danji, next week for more.